It's another strange job. Great. Okay, ready to start the next one. Swapnila Nkuli holds a master's degree in computer science from Texas State University. She's working as a senior consultant for ATSEC Information Security Corporation. Swapnila's main responsibilities include testing of IT products based on industry standards, particularly FIPS 140-2. And we used to work together, and Swapnila is a very, very good FIPS evaluator, and here she is. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming to this presentation. Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you for coming to this presentation. So my topic today is, what does your FIPS certificate say? I think vendors and lab, everybody invests so much time and money to get their FIPS certificate, but there is one aspect which is not taken into that much consideration. How does your FIPS certificate actually look and on the validation list? The way all men are not created equal, all certificates that are on the validation list are not equal. And we will see how you can get more information on the certificates and how would you differentiate between two similar looking certificates. So here are the topics I will cover. First is the basic information that goes on the FIPS certificate. What are the fields that make or differentiate two certificates? And with this information, how can you completely read the FIPS certificate to get all the information that is provided on the certificate? So first we will cover the mandatory fields and with some examples. So here are the fields listed for that are mandatory on the FIPS certificate. The vendor information, which leads vendor contact number, their address, email address, everything. Then there is information about the module, which is the module name, version number, validation date, security levels. Then some details about the module, like the approved algorithms, other algorithms, and the security policy, which is a link provided on the certificate. And lastly, the tested configuration, that means the operational environment on which the module is operating. So here is an example certificate. On the left-hand column, you see the vendor information, their contact, and also the CST lab, NVLab code that performed the testing. The middle column shows the module name and the version number. Then there is a module type, the software, hardware, hybrid. Then validation date on which the certificate was issued, and the sunset date. So starting this early this year, this column was added to the certification list, and after 5 years of your validation date, the certificate will sunset. So you have to accordingly revalidate or take some actions to keep the certificate on the list past the sunset date. And on the last column, the overall level shows the security level out of 1, 2, 3, 4 on which the module was validated. Then in the middle column, there is a link to the security policy, which gives details about the module, like its crypto boundary, what are the components, the service table, and all those details you will find it here. The consolidated validation certificate, it's like a link to the consolidated certificate. So there is only one certificate present. And after that, it lists all the certificates that, all the modules that were validated within that month. And vendor product link, it's an optional link which points to the product where this crypto module is used. So vendor can use this for their marketing purpose. Then the tested configuration lists the operating system and the platform on which the testing was carried out. So that is the operational environment. Approve algorithm lists the certificates with their respective CAS certificate numbers, algorithm certificate numbers, and other algorithm, if you have any non-compliant, non-approved or allowed algorithms, those will be listed there. So we can see some details here. So for example, in this certificate, there is a software version listed, and the module validation is only applicable to that specific version. If you change any version numbers change, then the module has to be revalidated for one sub or three sub, depending on the changes. Same is the case with operational environment. So whenever you are using this module, you have to follow this particular OS and the platform. Otherwise, the module is not compatible. And here is an example of the algorithm certificate. So the AES entry is taken from the AES validation list. And here also you can see that the same exact version number is used for algorithm validation, and also same exact platform is used for the algorithm validation. Now this was the basic information about the fields on the certificate. Now we will look at the certificate differentiators. So I have divided into two categories which can differentiate the certificates. First category is the type of caveats that the certificate has, and some extra functionality that the module provides, which is beyond or expected, above the expected overall FIPS level that the module is validated. So the first caveat is the module operational caveat, and the caveats are present in the middle column below the versioning information. So in this example, the caveat says when operated in FIPS mode. So this is the one caveat which tells you that, or it implies that the module also has a non-FIPS mode. So when you are using the module, you should operate in FIPS mode. And then the other caveat says that with tamper evident seals install as indicated in security policy. So this is the initialization or the configuration part. So when you are using this module, you should follow the security policy steps to install the tamper evident accordingly, and then you are using the correctly validated module. So how does this make a difference is an example here. In the first example, the module has certain algorithms which are non-approved, like DES. And that's why it contains a caveat when operated in FIPS mode. Otherwise, the next certificate doesn't have any non-approved algorithms, so that field is not applicable and you don't have any such caveat. This field also makes a difference in deciding the crypto coverage of the validated module. For example, the two certificates here have similar algorithms implemented, but on the left-hand side, you can see only two of those algorithms are validated with the CAVS certificates, and others are non-compliant. That means either the CAVS is not present or the post requirements are not met. Whereas in the second case, all the algorithms which are approved are tested and they have their respective algorithm certificates. The next example is the entropy caveat. So the standard says that for compromising the security of key generation method shall require as many operations as determining the value of the generated key. And if this requirement is not met, you need to have a caveat based on the scenarios where you fit, which are laid by IG 7.14. So for example, in this case, the module has at least 112 bits of entropy, but it does not provide the highest required strength for the generated key. So there is a caveat that says the module generates cryptographic keys whose strengths are modified by the available entropy. So here are some examples. In the first case, the module has minimum amount of entropy, but it is not always meeting the required case. So that's why there is a caveat. Whereas in other case, there is no such caveat. That means the module is meeting the required security strength at all time. And I just want to make a note here that because this IG was effective from 2015, so if you look at some of the older validated models, they will never have such caveat because there was no requirement to do this entropy analysis earlier. So when we are making this comparison, you have to make sure what is the validation date on that certificate. There is one more example in this case. So here, the first case, as I said, it meets the security strength in some cases, while there is another caveat, it says no assurance of minimum strength of generated keys. That means it's not giving any assurance on the strength of the keys. And there are different scenarios in the IG which will lead to such kind of caveat. One example is if you are passively receiving the entropy and the model doesn't have any control on it, then it might need to have such a caveat. The third type of caveat is a bound module caveat. So in some cases, the module depends on other module to meet its FIPS requirements. And in such cases, you will need to refer to that another module certificate as a caveat on your certificate. So in this example, the current certificate depends on another certificate named 2691. So when you are using this module, you should also make use of this other module according to its security policy. So here is the example. When you have such a module dependency, you will have a caveat there, and you have to follow the procedure to make use of both the modules in accordance to the security policy. Whereas in other case, there is no such binding, so there is no caveat for the module. Now we come to the another category, which is some of the extra functionality that the module implements, which is higher than the required overall security level. So in this case, the first example is a higher section level claim. So in FIPS, you have the overall security level matches the lowest section level that the module has. But if you have some functionalities for some sections where you can achieve a higher security level, then you can do this and it will get listed on the certificate in this way. So in this example, the overall level is 2, but the section level for role service authentication, physical security, and AMI-AMC are validated at a higher level. So here are examples how it makes a difference. So in this case, both the modules are validated at overall level 1. But the module on the right-hand side has a role service authentication validated at level 2. So that means this module also implements the authentication, which is not present in the first case. Similarly, in this example, both have validated at overall level 1. The left-hand side certificate has a role services validated at level 2, while in the right-hand side, the role service section is validated at level 3. So the right-hand side certificate has an identity-based authentication, which has, you know, it carries more weightage than just a role-based authentication. The next type of category is testing with and without PAA, that is the processor algorithm acceleration. This IG was effective from 2015, and recently it was updated to have another term, which is processor algorithm implementation. So basically, with this testing, you are covering the hardware acceleration path as well as the software implementation of the algorithm. And it will be depicted on the tested configuration environment on the platform with and without PAA. So here is an example. In this case, both certificates have the same operational environment, but the left-hand side one is only tested without PAA, so they are not utilizing any hardware acceleration, whereas the right-hand side is tested with and without PAA, so that means it is utilizing and it is testing the hardware acceleration as well as the software path for that particular algorithm. The next one is the mitigation of other attacks. So if your module mitigates against any attacks which are out of scope of that level or of the standard, then you can claim this under mitigation of other attacks, that is section 11 in the standard. And if you look at the FIPS, look at the certificate here. Yeah, if you look at the certificate here, you don't see any information, but I will show you in this example. So in the left-hand side, when the module is not mitigating against any attacks, the section is listed as not applicable. But if it does, then it matches the overall security level, and you don't have any non-applicable caveat here. So this is the basic information that I wanted to provide and the certificate differentiators. With this information, the vendors and the users will be able to better approach their validation or usage of the FIPS certificate. So for the vendor, the approach should be what kind of certificate we want to get, and for user, it should be what kind of certificate I want to use. And based on the fields, you can decide what you are looking for. Like when you are looking at the sunset date, you can decide that how much lifetime remains for that module. And if you want to be on the list, you can revalidate the things. Similarly, for caveats, as a vendor, you should try to avoid caveat. Work with your lab to avoid such things and get the best possible scenarios for the implemented module. And with this, I would just like to stress the fact that when you are planning your validation, you should also plan to visualize your certificate entry, how it's going to look. And as a user, when you are using or comparing two different certificates, make sure you look at all these fields to get the best out of it. Thank you.
So we're just completing our first validation at Citrix CMVP. Mm-hmm. We already completed the CAVP. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges that I think relates is the differences between the way things are listed for CAVP and for CMVP.
Okay.
Like, for example, You had the PAA, PAI. I just checked for the CAV CAVP certificates. There's only a few that list that, but like ours, our lab told us we have to list AESNI, et cetera, like the specific instruction sets. We can't say PAA or PAI. So some people got through with it. Some people obviously didn't. And as a vendor, I don't like the inconsistency there.
So I think now it's like sort of mandatory, or they make sure that on the validation, the module validation, you will have the with PA and with PAI. I think previously sometime it was AESNI, but now it is, you should say PA, and the security policy will tell you what particular PA was used for this module. And regarding the CAVS validation, you can always look into the security policy. So if you have tested on with and without PA, the certificate, let's say for example you are testing AES with AESNI, you will have two different certificates for those two different implementations. So if you look into the certificate list, you should see something like it was tested, the implementation name should tell you with tested with AESNI or without AESNI. Or the security policy should list that this particular certificate belongs to this particular implementation, and that will sort of ease you to map this with and without PA on the algorithm certificate as well.
Okay.
Thank you.